Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, August 15th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A world-famous crabber rescued five people from a sinking seiner near Prince of Wales Island early Wednesday morning. The Homer-based fishing vessel Time Bandit is known for its role in the Deadliest Catch reality TV series, which focuses on Bering Sea fisheries. But right now, it's in southern Southeast, fishing for salmon, according to the vessel's Facebook page. The Time Bandit was near Dal Island on the outer coast of southern Prince of Wales Island about 4:30 yesterday morning. That's when the 56-foot seiner Coral Sea ran aground. It picked up the skipper and four crew members who had gotten into a life raft. At last report, the Coral Sea was partially underwater. In a separate incident, the Pacific Queen sunk around midnight Tuesday near Long Island, southwest of Petersburg and west of Wrangell. Coast Guard spokesman Jonathan Klingenberg says the 75-foot tender's crew asked for help as it began taking on water.
That vessel is sunk in about 40 fathoms of water, and the cause of the sinking is still under investigation.
He says the skipper and crew members abandoned ship and escaped in a life raft. The Coast Guard dispatched a helicopter from Sitka, but the three on board were picked up by the fishing vessel Windham Bay and taken into Petersburg.
This crew that was forced to abandon ship, they were prepared for a worst-case scenario. They had, you know, a life raft that they could get onto, and they had an EPIRB, which allowed them to be located in a timely manner.
Klingenberg says the Pacific Queen had about 1,000 gallons of diesel on board. The Coral Sea had about 500. He says the Coast Guard will monitor both sinkings for fuel leaks. So far, no sheen has been spotted. The Sitka Assembly is moving ahead with the sale of about 20 acres of benchlands property to a local developer, but what is ultimately built on the land will depend on market forces rather than on an affordable housing plan. The Assembly agreed to proceed with drawing up an agreement with Sound Development LLC after a lengthy discussion about whether City Hall should try to include language requiring that the results be affordable. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Sound Development is the name of a relatively new business created by Sitkin's Todd Fleming and Jeremy Twaddle. Back in April, the pair submitted a 44-page proposal outlining their idea for developing the benchlands. Twaddle is a professional builder who's put in years of service on Sitka's Planning and Zoning Commission. He summed up Sitka's basic problem as follows.
In this town, there doesn't seem to be a shortage of houses or builders, individuals or entities qualified to build buildings. There's just a serious shortage of land to do that. Sitka's been burdened with those challenges, you know, for many, many years, and it's getting to one of those critical points again where, you know, if people look online or in newspaper, there's a very limited amount of vacant land or raw land available to build on. That's, you know, fully served by utilities and roads and the appropriate infrastructure. And then of those lots that are available, many of them are what you might call higher end, you know, ocean view lots or ocean front lots. And, you know, so there's nothing on the lower end and there's nothing in the mid range that's out there basically on the market right now. And so that really leaves a void, and it kind of stagnates, you know, in our mind. It creates a stagnation for any new development. If there's nowhere to build, there's nowhere to build. Building construction can't continue, you know, outside or inside people can't continue to grow their families here within Sitka. We're just trying to attack it at the level, at the very foundation, the very base level of providing the land.
Twaddle and Fleming submitted their plan in response to a request for proposals, or RFP, for the development of about 20 acres of property called the South Benchlands. This is the area along Kramer Drive as you turn up the road from Sandy Beach. There are four large parcels in the proposed sale on both sides of the road. The language of the RFP followed language in the Sitka Comprehensive Plan, and although it doesn't require an affordable housing program, it points in that direction by asking developers to, quote, encourage diverse housing types and densities in order to assure decent housing for all persons in all income groups, close quote. Twaddle and Fleming propose creating diversity by developing lots in a way that could allow for the construction of planned unit developments, or PUDs, or cluster homes and some other higher density possibilities. The rest would be up to the market. This is where the assembly bogged down. Should the sales agreement for the land somehow be written to enforce the spirit of the RFP, or would the market alone be enough? Some on the assembly thought this was going too far, among them Pete Esquiro.
I'd like to see the whole kit and caboodle up there sold to a private developer, and let's get out of the real estate business altogether. Well, here's one step toward getting out of that, out of the real estate business. And you know, you got to take the first stroke on this swim sometime.
And Tor Christensen.
You know, we first started talking, saying, right, we're just going to try and figure out a way to do it with the RFP. I'm coming back to that. I just want to sell it. I mean, the land is restricted by its zoning, by the development process. We know who they're doing it. We know what their plan is. I don't have a problem just selling it.
But that opened a legal can of worms. Acting Administrator Mike Harmon and Municipal Attorney Robin Kocek were concerned about just dropping the terms of the RFP, especially when Twaddle and Fleming had gone to such lengths to respond to it. An outright sale, Kocek said, may require putting the land back out on the open market. She thought the assembly was straying from its objective.
There was talk at the last meeting on the 23rd from the assembly. I mean, the talk was quite different. The talk then was about affordable housing and what would be built there, and the RFP was geared towards affordable housing. And now it's kind of, well, now it's not kind of. Now what I'm hearing from the assembly is a completely different tone, saying we want out of the real estate business, and what you're saying is that you don't care what they build up there because the market's going to dictate it.
Kocek was encouraging the assembly to be specific in the sales agreement if it desired a specific outcome from the sale. In the end, it may have been a couple of factors, fear of micromanaging, as Matt Hunter put it, and an overall trust in Twaddle and Fleming to stick to their plan that led the assembly to allow the interim administration and Sound Development to move ahead on a sales agreement based on the RFP. Mayor Mim McConnell said all the pieces were there.
The RFP and Sound Development's proposal does address affordable housing. So I feel like they are being responsive to the RFP in that regard.
The assembly's vote was 7-0. The sales agreement will go back to the assembly for final approval at a future meeting. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
You can see the city's request for proposals for the sale of the South Benchlands and Sound Development's response at our website, kcaw.org. The assembly this week also adopted an urban forestry management plan. The 47-page document was prepared by a community forestry consultant and the Alaska Department of Natural Resources Community Forestry Program, working alongside Sitka's Park and Recreation Department. The plan is a manual for the care of Sitka's trees, but it's not all-inclusive. Assemblymember Mike Reif wanted to know if the plan had details on maintaining the ocean views around town. Parks Manager Lynn Brandon said that wasn't really the purpose of the document.
So it's really specifically directed towards the trees that we actively manage on parks and city grounds. And many of them are cultivated, and unless we're doing some sort of active management, and I think the inventory, we inventoried perhaps 700 trees. Those are really the targeted trees.
The assembly approved the urban forestry plan. There was no cost associated with adopting the document. Brandon was brought forward again later in the meeting to outline plans to extend the multimodal portion of Sitka's cross trail. Currently, the bikeable portion of the cross trail ends before it intersects with the Gavin Trail. In phase 4 of 5 of the project, which has just received $900,000 in federal funding, the trail will be rerouted and widened to connect with Baranoff Street Trailhead and then extend to Yaw Drive in the Indian River subdivision. Brandon explained the rest of the route.
What we're going to do there, because BHA has a concern about the truck traffic on Yaw Drive, so we're basically doing a separated pathway along most of Yaw Drive from where the cross trail intersects. Mm-hmm. And then as you get to Kelkey Pond, if anybody remembers Kelkey Pond, it swoops down in around Kelkey Pond and then comes out directly across from the existing Indian River trailhead.
The existing foot trail between Yaw Drive and the Indian River will not be abandoned. Other portions of the existing cross trail, however, will be decommissioned. Brandon says boardwalk will be removed and the trail will be revegetated. State Senator Hollis French says he has filed preliminary paperwork with the Division of Elections that could allow him to run for governor. The Anchorage Democrat says in an announcement that the filing letter of intent allows him to perform exploratory work to determine whether a run would be viable. He says supporters have urged him to run and that he believes Governor Sean Parnell is leading the state in the wrong direction on oil taxes, education, and health care. French was elected to the Alaska State Senate in 2002. He is a former Anchorage prosecutor. The Juneau Planning Commission has approved a $750,000 state project to widen a trail on the south side of Mendenhall Loop Road with a caveat. The project should start this fall. The trail will be widened to 10 feet. New ramps from the trail to the Capital Transit stop on Mendenhall Loop Road also will be built to comply with Americans with Disabilities Act requirements. However, planner Ben Lyman asked and received permission from the commissioner to add a stipulation. The city will only allow the state project to proceed if the state grants a permit to the city build a shelter at the bus stop. Lyman says Juneau applied for such a permit in 2011, but the state hasn't approved it. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. Today, it's going to be cloudy with scattered showers in the afternoon, highs around 64 and light winds. Tonight, cloudy with scattered showers, lows around 55 and light winds. Friday, cloudy with a chance of showers, highs around 63. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW.